Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny live, Uptown Alley in Manassas. No GP, the poor guy has the flu. Missing one of the fun shows. One of these rare times you get to talk about a playoff team playing a massive playoff game, and he's got the flu. Toby Altizer is hanging out. I want to remind you that as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show. The law firm of Condori and Morai can help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them the Grant and Andy sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Without further ado, joining us now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, former longtime Redskin, Detroit Lion, mornings on 97.1, the Ticket in Detroit, Mr. John Jansen. John, good afternoon, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, it's great to talk to you guys. It's great to be able to talk to the fans there in D.C. I miss them, but I'm glad some of them are going to be traveling here to Detroit to watch this game tomorrow night.
It's a big one. And you're there in that market, John, and you obviously know it so well. Just kind of give me the pulse here. I know a few Lions fans, and there's a kinship, frankly, between Washington fans and Lion fans, I think, to some degree. Like, I get their suffering. I get how deserving they are of that roof blowing off and everybody finally being able to exercise some demons. What's the environment like there? How are the fans sort of feeling leading up to this thing?
Well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. Like, if you're a Redskins fan or a fan of really any other franchise, maybe save Cleveland, I'm not sure that you really understand or get what it's been like to be in D.C. here, or I mean in Detroit, because we've never been to a Super Bowl, never had a Super Bowl championship. The last time they went to an NFC championship game, it was the Redskins that knocked them on their butt, and they haven't recovered since. So it's been a long road. There, the sense here in Detroit that this is finally the year that you know, even though there's been a bunch of injuries, they've been able to overcome every single time, and they've kind of conquered all the mountains that people said they couldn't do. It was the cold weather for Jared Goff. It was prime time. It was, you know, SOL, same old Lions, and the goats of seasons past. And they've kind of put that all behind them. And the sense here is that this is the year of Detroit for a Super Bowl.
John, I mean, you talk about that confidence that these fans have. I mean, it's got to be refreshing for the city to have that sort of confidence. Around here, the vibe is kind of growing as the week's gone on, that fans are getting this quiet confidence that maybe they can get it done. Is there any sort of nerves for Lions fans going into this matchup?
I wouldn't say nerves. Maybe some anxious energy, because we had to sit there around, having had to earn the one seed, had to sit around and watch everybody else have all the fun. But, you know, the confidence comes from watching this team, the Lions, and what they've done all season long, especially offensively. It's the number one offense in the NFL, and they're getting David Montgomery back, so they're getting healthy on offense. Christian Mahogany is going to be playing right guard with Kevin Zeitler out, but he's come in before and played at a high level. So it's the ability to strike at every level of the offense, whether it's in the run game, in the pass game. It's the protection, it's the quality play that we're getting, a decision-making from Jared Goff, especially in the biggest moments. So that's part of the confidence. The other part of the confidence, and I don't mean to take a shot at Washington, but when you look at the 12 wins, there's only one team that Washington has beaten that's a playoff team, and that was Philly, and that was with Kenny Pickett. So I don't know that there's a lot of Lions fans, even looking at that think they're going to make that jump from beating everybody that's not in the playoffs, losing to some playoff teams, and then all of a sudden they're going to come into the playoffs and beat the number one seed.
Great. John Jansen with us here on G&D live from Uptown Alley in Manassas. John, I had to look his name up, but Jack Fox punts for the Detroit Lions. That's a great gig, by the way. We should all sign up for something like that. But he did have to punt a couple of times this year, and here's where I'm going with it. You mentioned it. Detroit's offense is incredible. It's as good as most any we've seen in the sport. I mean, it's 99 Rams level good as far as I'm concerned. They beat you in any way you'd like to get beaten. The few times where maybe it wasn't clicking or got out of rhythm, what happened? And is there anything Washington can do to try to make some of those times occur?
Yeah, the only guy that might have a better job in Detroit other than Jack Fox, since he doesn't have to work every game, is the number two quarterback, since Jared Goff has been so healthy over the last 3 years. But when the offense hasn't worked, it's honestly, it's been self-inflicted wounds. It's either, and it doesn't involve Jack Fox, it's a turnover by Jared Goff. There hasn't been a lot of turnovers in terms of fumbles this year, but that is something that could hold this team back. But it's really, you know, every once in a while there's a missed assignment and a guy just, you know, misses the block or, you know, they're not able to convert on third down. And it's, you know, it leads to a fourth and 7 or 8. I mean, that's something that Dan Campbell hasn't gone to yet. Fourth and 2 or 3, fourth and 5. Hell, he's going for it. But, you know, it's being really good on third down, and that's going to be the key to this Lions offense, is being able to convert those third downs and at least make a manageable force.
How big of a deal is it that Zeitler's not going to be able to get out there? The rest of the O-line is just nasty as well, but how big of a deal is it not having Zeitler tomorrow night?
I don't think it's a big deal at all. They drafted Christian Mahogany out of Boston College, to be able to come in and for moments like this. He was a late round pick, a sixth round pick. He was banged up in his senior year and, you know, he was sick at the beginning of the season. But I mean, just a few games ago, Graham Glasgow was down. All of a sudden you put in Christian Mahogany and he's off and running. Didn't even notice it. The Lions had to do it last year in the NFC Championship game. Not that he was there, but, Awosika, they put him in. And when you have as good of coaching from top to bottom as this team has, it all starts with Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson calling plays, but Hank Fraley. And we know him very well because he was up the road there in Philly as a player early in his career. He's a technician, and he has, whether you're in the first group, second group, every guy, if you're on this roster, you're expected to go in and not miss a beat. And they've really shown in a number of different positions, but especially offensive line, that they can get that done.
So, John, this is what I posited earlier. Would love your take on this. I know Detroit's going to move the football, and that's true of any opponent. If and when they get to the Super Bowl, I'm their opponent. I know they're going to move the football. I know they can score points. To me, if they want to hand it off, I'll say, you know what? That's fine. I'm hoping I can contain Jahmyr Gibbs, who runs like a 3.840. Basically, at this point, the guy looks faster than anybody I've ever seen. But Jameson Williams might even be faster. You know, like, I can't have the big play. Probably easier said than done to stop it. But I will back off and make you slowly but surely matriculate down the football field. I don't know if that's a winning recipe. I don't know if that's kind of defeatist. But I'll challenge you to do that 3, 4, 5, 6 times to get your points rather than give up some of these big chunk plays that Ben Johnson has. I mean, like this morning, he probably wrote down on a cocktail napkin the greatest trick play that human beings have ever seen, and it's coming out in the third quarter, and I'm terrified about it. But I'd rather give up those 5, 6, 7, 10-yard bleeders underneath in the running game than any of the big shots. What do you think there?
I mean, if you're just picking how you're going to die. And
yeah.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, okay, do you want the game to be a good game into the late second quarter, early third quarter? Then, you know, then let the Lions run the ball or say, hey, we're going to take away J-Mo. We're going to try and limit Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam Laporta. It's kind of an exercise in futility. That's why this offense is so hard. You mentioned it. I don't know if it's as good as that 99 offense in St.
Though.
Louis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty good. So, but here's the thing about Jahmyr Gibbs is, you know, you don't want to give up the big play to J-Mo. There's been 14 explosive runs this year for the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs has 13 of them. And so he could take it to the house either way, whether you're throwing it over the top to J-Mo or you're handing it off or throwing it to Jahmyr Gibbs. That's what also makes him a threat. And Ben Johnson is kind of always one step ahead of defensive coordinators, where if they do say, you know what, I can't take it anymore, I'm going to stop the run, he goes to the short pass game, or he goes to the middle pass, or some swing routes. So it's, I always love watching defensive coordinators, and I know Dan Quinn. All right. This is a guy that is extremely good, obviously focused on defense. The Jaden Daniels is the story, but I'm curious as to what type of game plan he's going to come into this game with. And I've been studying defenses all season long, and, you know, not many people have been able to slow it down. So it'll be interesting to see what he tries to put together to slow this, both phases, the run game and the pass game for Detroit.
John, the bye week for the Lions is big because they didn't have a bye for a long time, having their bye week originally in week 5. How important was it for them, and how do they attack this week? Do you anticipate maybe any rust early on coming out of the bye week?
Well, I don't expect any rust because it's a very veteran team, and even the young guys, you know, have been playing a ton over the last 2 years. So it's really going to come down to leadership. And Jared Goff, Penei Sewell offensively, defensively, even though he's only in his second year, he's a tremendous leader. And Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, and getting back Alex Anzalone. This, for that Minnesota game, he showed that the arm surgery that he had wasn't going to affect him. There certainly are some issues with the Lions in terms of defensive depth. They had 13 guys on IR. Aiden Hutchinson, he's not coming back. Carlton Davis, Derek Barnes, Malcolm Rodriguez. I go right down to Lee McNeil, a guy that was having a Pro Bowl caliber season. Those guys aren't coming back, but to be able to get some of the more veteran guys like a Za'Darius Smith up front, DJ Reader, over the last couple of years has been banged up. This year so far he's been healthy. Getting those guys the rest is exactly what they needed. You mentioned it. They haven't had a bye week since week 5, so it'll be nice to have this one. It'll also be nice to have that one right before the Super Bowl.
So let's get to that Detroit defense. Franklin hadn't mattered. I don't know that it matters this week. But maybe to win a Super Bowl, you might need to be closer to what they did against Minnesota, John, than maybe what they were doing against Buffalo, just to use a couple anecdotal points. How do you expect this defense to play tomorrow night?
Well, it'll be interesting because against Minnesota, it was all about Sam Darnold and getting to him. And we saw at the end of last year, and we definitely saw in the Minnesota game, that Aaron Glenn was going to bring a lot of pressure. He was going to throw a lot of man coverage. He was going to bring pressure. And he was going to change things up. It wasn't always going to come from the same time or from the same place. But the thing about Jaden Daniels, what's so impressive about him as a rookie is how he does handle the blitz, how he handles the pressure. I mean, that's kind of where he actually shines. And I know some of that is just, hey, his athletic ability, and he can get out and he can extend plays. But I don't think in this game, you're going to run some man coverage because I do think that Amik Robertson can keep up with, and I don't want it to be, just no disrespect, but what I saw him do against Justin Jefferson, he could do the same against Scary Terry. So you're going to see some man coverage, but there needs to be more zone. There needs to be make Jaden Daniels hold the ball, make him make decisions, change some coverages, post snap, so that the look isn't the same. Make them think about it, and instead of just blitzing them all the time. That's what Lions have had success with, but I think it's a little bit of a different animal playing against Jaden Daniels.
How concerned are they about Jaden's legs? If they're going to play so much man coverage, if he can break out of the pocket and get loose, are they a little bit scared of what he can do on the ground?
Oh, everybody's scared of a mobile quarterback. I mean, if this was Halloween, I think the scariest costume would be to dress up as a mobile quarterback. The thing about, you have to realize, okay, at some point in offense, and if you're talking about Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, at some point those guys are going to get their yardage. And Jaden Daniels, kind of the same thing. At some point, he's going to be able to pick up some first downs with his legs. He's going to make some throws. Even though he's a rookie, he's a damn good thrower. So you've got to accept the fact that that's just going to happen. But you don't let them string together an entire drive of those, and you force field goals when they get in the red zone, or you just keep them out of field goal range, and you make a nervous kicker go out there and kick. So that's got to be the theory. Okay, a 3-and-out, that'd be perfect. It's not always going to happen. So you have to accept the fact that Jaden Daniels go pick up some first downs with his feet. You just make sure that they don't end up in the end zone.
Washington's run game has really struggled. Non-Jaden Daniels division here, John. Their running backs, just aren't getting going. There's not much in the way of holes and blocking, and just the time. The whole operation looks off, and Daniels has kind of bailed them out a whole bunch in more ways than one. I feel like that's the area that Detroit can really exploit, because you don't have to commit all that much. I think you're going to be able to get in those, you know, second and longs, third and longs, and kind of be able to tee off to bring some of those exotic pressures and things. That's something you guys have kind of talked about here this week, of where this Washington run game has trended in the bad direction.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I know Brian Robinson, it's a great story, and, you know, Austin Eckler, you know, him having him healthy is going to be good. But yeah, you're right. It's there's not really a, nobody's going to be scared of the run game. So you've got to be able to win on first down and force them into second and nine, second and 11, you know, and then again, be good on second down so that you force it to be a passing game. And then when that happens, you not always bring in pressure. Sometimes it's going to be that way. But if you mentioned it, dropping guys into coverage, you drop seven into coverage, and now all of a sudden that secondary looks like there's just nothing available, and you're rushing four. And not that they're going to get home with four, but it's not about getting home. It's about staying disciplined in rush lanes so that you don't give Jaden an easy exit route out of the pocket.
That atmosphere tomorrow night at Ford Field is going to be electric. How much do you think that's going to affect Washington's offense? I don't think that Jaden's going to get rattled. I don't know that any of us feel that way because of what he's already gone through and playing in the SEC. But the communication aspect, where they run a lot of no huddle, from your experience playing in a loud environment, how difficult is it for an offense to function when you've got a raucous environment, a rookie quarterback, especially with an offense that lives a lot off of the no huddle and signaling to the different plays and whatnot?
I always think it's really cute when people compare NFL stadiums to SEC stadiums. It's, you know, trust me, I get the college environment. I do college games. But the NFL environment, and you guys know what FedEx, you know, and it's been a long time since you've had a ruckus environment. It's been that way for here, too. But it's a different feel. And I do want to see how Jaden Daniels is going to handle 65,000 screaming people and, you know, the shouting obscenities. And, I mean, it's going to be a violent environment. How's he going to handle it? And I'm not saying he can't, but I want to see it because it is different at this level than it is in college. But it's the offensive line, and I guarantee you there's going to be a couple of times where, hey, it's first and 10, all of a sudden it's first and 15. Or there's a key third and eight, and then all of a sudden, hey, it's third and 13 because somebody jumped offside. That's where, you know, Ford Field is going to be absolutely bonkers. Detroit's never been a one seed, and they've never had a chance to host an NFC championship game. That's next week's business. But this is the task at hand, and I guarantee, especially since it's a night game, I know individuals that are going to be down there as early as 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. They'll all be there by noon, by 1 o'clock. They're going to be priming the pump and ready to roll at 8 tomorrow night. So it's going to be a hell of a scene in Detroit.
All right, John, let's chat on this one. Call your shot. I have a feeling I know how this is going to go, but give me a prediction for this one. How does it go?
Oh, I think it's going to be Detroit, let's just say 35, Washington 13.
Woo. Man, I hope it's a little closer than that just for everybody's sake, the national viewing audience notwithstanding. John, great to catch up with you, buddy. Really appreciate the time, man. Continued success, buddy.
Thanks, John.
All right, thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
There you go. That's a great John Jansen. Was really, really good here. You heard him. That's how they feel, and I get it. I'd have a little swagger, too.
Absolutely.
If my team scored more points than the 99 Rams, by the way. I looked it up. 99 Rams average 32 and change a game. This group averages 33 a game. I know it's a different league, but still, that offense is as good as you're going to find in the sport. I got a couple things I want to do before we get out of here. We're going to talk predictions, kind of break some things down. Who's the MVP if it's not Jaden Daniels, sort of besides that for Washington, in a good script. Okay, I go through some scenarios. I want to hear your pregame speech. We'll do that in a little while. Give me, I want to hear from Tobes, hear from you guys. Let's fill up the phones on this, 800-636-1067. Give me the most important non-Jaden Daniels player tomorrow. Give me the most important player for Washington that's not Jaden Daniels. Take it wherever you want. Could be Terry has a big game. Could be Austin Eckler. Could be Tyler Biadasz trying to deal with the communication. Could be Marshawn Lattimore trying to play some semblance of defense for this team. Who's the most important non-Jaden Daniels player? 800-636-1067.
It's a good one. Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35. Bolts a man to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side, he's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. Darryl Green returns the ball.
Chills every time I hear it, man. 8-year-old Danny Ruye, bowl cut. Now you're wondering, did his mom use an actual bowl? Yes, she used an actual bowl, to the point that I came home crying from school because people said, your mom uses a bowl. And I was like, doesn't everybody's? And they said, no, they go to a professional haircut place, you loser. So we stopped getting bowl cuts. But I had a bowl cut for that. Darryl Green against the Bears, saving the world. Had the breakup at the goal line next week against Minnesota as well to send Washington to the Super Bowl. Welcome back. We're at Uptown Alley. It's Grant and Danny here on the Fan. No GP. He's out with the flu. But yes, Toby, he is with us until 6:30. Hope you guys can swing by, come hang out. I've talked to so many Washington fans. People are so excited. The vibe, Toby, she's good. It's a good
very
vibe.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
It's
very
a lot good. Of fun. This place rules, by the way. Here in the heart of Manassas, they got Bowling Alley, Uptown Alley Bowling, you get that. Unbelievable food. There's a whole arcade section over there. I think you can play billiards. That's what you want to do.
Oh,
some
yeah.
people call it pool. I call it billiards because I'm a sophisticate.
I call it pool. I'm not sophisticated.
That's right. So I got a bunch of things we want to do for the last hour of the show leading you up to this huge, huge, huge playoff game. But I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you guys on the phones as well, at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's a given that the quarterback, especially this quarterback, quite frankly, Jaden Daniels, is the most important player for Washington. Duh. He doesn't play well. Great season. Thanks. Awesome. Still rookie of the year. He's still great. I wouldn't trade him for but maybe one or two players in the whole NFL. If they're going to win, he plays great. I think everyone gets that. Besides Jaden Daniels, who's their most important player in this game to you? Who's your one seed?
Yeah, I think the easy answer is Terry. But I'm going to go with Zach Ertz because I think it's huge to tomorrow night that you have to continually convert on third and fourth down, and I think he's the guy that you can count on outside of Terry. And when you're looking for a third and five, a fourth and four, and you just need that one dude that you can depend on to catch a ball across the middle, to keep you on the field, to keep Jared Goff and the boys off the field and on the sideline, I think Zach Ertz is going to be that guy. I think Terry's going to do his thing. Terry's going to get his receptions, and I think he's going to be necessary if you're going to win this game. But if you're going to need somebody outside Terry to step up, I think it's got to be Zach Ertz because he's going to be huge on those conversions. You cannot afford to give them short fields if you're going to go for it on fourth down like they have all season long, and you definitely can't afford to be punting. So you need someone that's going to be old, reliable on third and fourth down. I think that's going to be Zach Ertz.
So I like that answer a lot. So let me kind of go into something here about my personal sports philosophy when it comes to games, big games, as a guy that played a lot of sports like everybody else did, and now I coach kids at all levels, from little kids, five-year-old, up to high school kids, college kids, everybody in between. I work with a lot of young people, okay? If you're going to win a big game, the thing that you count on has to come through.
Yes.
So in order to win the big one, you got to have the thing that you count on. That's got to be a given. And the thing you're not sure about, it's got to break your way. What is that in this case? To me, this is the defense, most specifically the pass defense, right? I don't feel great about it. They've got to play better than I think they're going to play, than a lot of people think they're going to play. They've got to come up with a turnover, come up with a couple pass breakups, cover some really, really dangerous players with a great scheme, better than a lot of the national media folks like us around here might think, right? So that I'm not sure about. The thing that I am supposedly, quote-unquote, sure about is this offense with Jaden Daniels. What can break that down? You got Za'Darius Smith. You got a loud environment. You got a rookie in Brandon Coleman. And this is my answer, going to a place that he has not been. He is starting a playoff game. Jaden Daniels, that dude's pretty cool. He ain't bothered. Do we know that Brandon Coleman's not bothered? I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. I thought he scuffled a bit last week. Granted, against a better defense, against a better group than they're going to be playing this week. But it's going to be super loud. He can't hear. he's got to be kind of looking down the line. Guys with maybe some of those wide sets, some of the exotic looks that Aaron Glenn, they're going to find and exploit the weak link. And I don't know that it's Brandon Coleman, but he's got to be really good. He's got to play better front than he has, both for purposes of the run game. Pass pro, you know they're going to do the twists, the stunts, the games, the TE games, the TE twists, the defensive tackle that engages with you and you're blocking him, then all of a sudden the guy you're supposed to be blocking loops around and nobody's blocking him. You're going to see everything under the sun to try to harass and harangue Jaden Daniels to knock him off his timing and rhythm. So to me, this ends up being the thing that you have to have that has to be good. The analogy I have, it's not a good one, but it's what I came up with, is if you play the Golden State Warriors, And you're a Golden State fan, what do you count on? Steph Curry shooting the lights out. So see, you got Steph Curry going to the foul line, and he goes 4-for-12, which is the most uncharacteristic thing by the way, because it's automatic. But what can you do if that happens? You can't count on that happening. You never would. It hasn't happened in a million years. The thing that has to come through to give them a chance is their best thing. And that's their offense. That's Jaden Daniels being comfortable. What do you guys say? 800-636-1067. Toby's got
Zach Ertz.
Danny Ruye has Brandon Coleman. Who do you have? 800-636-1067. Let's go to Michael in Germantown on line three. Michael, who do you have?
Hey, gentlemen. I have, other than Jaden Daniels, the general on the other side of the field, Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner needs to be in lockstep with Coach Witt so the proper defenses are called to slow down Jahmyr Gibbs, to slow down David Montgomery, to get Goff off his mark, to disrupt the timing with his receivers. It's been proven that when Goff is not, his timing's off with the receivers, he's not as efficient. So I'm going to say Bobby Wagner.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer, because he's going to have to do a ton. He's going to have to cover a little bit, probably, see Laporta, see Gibbs, see Montgomery. They throw Montgomery out of the backfield more than you think, by the way. You got to do that. You got to be lights out in the run game. All the check with me is all the different stuff that Detroit might be run. Everything from RPOs to, well, there's strong side there, and I read this, seen that blitz look, so now we're going to move the play to the other side. They communicate. They're really, really on their P's and Q's, and you need a supercomputer that also happens to have, you know, 150 tackle ability to sort of match you moment for moment, and that's on Wagner.
Yeah, I think that's huge, because not only do you need him to play well, you need him to be impactful in the run game, in the pass game. You need to get him so that he's communicating with everybody well, and then so that he's getting these guys into the right look. So I think that's a really good point, that Bobby Wagner, maybe more so in terms of his mental ability, is important to this defense, because you can't have any busting coverage. You can't have any wide open holes where no one's covering them, because they're going to take advantage. So if you play a sound game and they beat you, right? But you can't have any of those mental mistakes, and I think Bobby Wagner is going to be huge in that.
Who's the most important player for Washington if they're going to win besides Jaden Daniels? I think we all know that's the obvious answer, right? Their quarterback, who's a superstar, has got to be a superstar. I get that. 800-636-1067. Let's go to line one, Barghoff. In Gaithersburg, who's got to be huge if they're going to beat Detroit?
What's happening, fellas? I'm going with Austin Ekeler. I like the answer before me a lot. But I'm going with Ekeler. You know, I think behind Zach Ertz, he's the most dependable, behind Terry McLaurin, him and Zach Ertz are the most dependable weapons we have. And I think just the nature of his position coming out of the backfield, he's more explosive. You know, and just picking up the crucial third and two, third and one, big catches, moving the chains, blitz pickup. I think he's going to be big, man. He got a huge fourth and one for us last week where he fell forward. B-Rob wasn't going to get that, in my opinion. So, yeah, Austin Ekeler, man. Ekeler the heckler. Let's go.
I want to tell you something. I agree with every word that you just said. Like, literally everything that Barghoff just said, I agree with. I don't think Brian Robinson gets that, because it wasn't the first effort that got it for Ekeler. He, like, was kind of churning forward on top of the defender that got him that extra half yard to get past the line. This, to me, would be an Austin Ekeler game. I said the same thing last week, and I would double down even more so this week. I get why they did what they did with Austin Ekeler this year. You were trying to save him. Right, you were trying to keep him healthy, keep him upright, keep him fresh. I think the common wisdom was that maybe he wore down a little bit over the years, and especially as the season went on last year for a Chargers team that kind of ran him like it was 2019 still, and that had been the case for some time. Tobes.
Yeah.
To me, you kept him fresh. You got your thunder. You got your bell cow and Robinson. You use Ekeler as a supplement. Now it's not supplement time. Now it's shot clock, limited amount of season, limited amount of games left, maybe none. I'm riding with him. He's their best matchup advantage to me.
Yeah, this is This is do or die.
Yeah.
Give it to Jaden, give it to Eckler. It really doesn't matter. The one thing for me, because I completely agree with that, Danny, is they're going to start with Brian Robinson early. We know that. They're going to try.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, then just abandon that as quickly as possible. Run it with Eckler. If that doesn't work, try something else. But don't keep banging your head against the wall for the Brian Robinson stuff. If it's not working, I don't need to see eight on the field the rest of the game. Give me 30. Mm-hmm. Give me all the other guys and see what happens. But if it's not working with B-Rob, go to Eck.
We've got predictions coming up. We've got game scenarios coming up. We'll talk game script. I want to get from Toby. Darius, I'm going to tag you in on this one. I want to get your pregame speech to the boys. I'll give
Love
you
it.
Mine. Here's a hint. It involves Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
It involves the Rohirrim, the Battle of Pelennor Fields, overwhelming odds against them, the Uruks. You know them as orcs, Toby. Not the Uruk-hai, not to be confused with Saruman's white-handed Uruk-hai, crossbred of goblin men, and the orcs. This is the Uruks of Sauron. I just wanted to be clear on that. That's what my pregame speech is going to involve. I don't know how fired up the young 20-somethings will be, but I'd be fired up. I'd run through a brick wall if I got the similar speech that Theoden, king of the Rohirrim, gave of the fields of Pelennor. Anyway, that's a digression. Most important player, that's not Jaden Daniels. We'll do more of that. We've got plenty more content to get you ready for a massive playoff game for Washington tomorrow night at 8, live from Uptown Alley. It's Toby in for GP, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Was perhaps the single biggest play of the Redskins season. They won 17-10 with defense and depth. Now they had but one game to go.
Just stirring the memory banks, Terrace. Oh, I get so steamed.
So I grew up not having seen any of this.
None of it.
Okay. But I live with my grandma and my mom growing up, and her twin sister lived just down the hill. I remember going down the hill. And we plugged in the old VHS, put in the old VCR, all these things. Gets me fired up like I'm 5 years old again.
Dude.
Like I'm 8 years old, like I'm 10 years old. Gets me ready to go.
At those various milestones. I mean, my first memory, welcome back, Grant and Danny here, live from Uptown Alley in Manassas. Toby sitting in for GP, who's homesick. We got to talk about that, by the way, if he's even going to be able to go to Detroit. I got no idea. I hope he does. But my age range, the first Super Bowl, I it's bits and pieces. I honestly don't really remember much, but I do remember the play, right? Everyone knows the play that I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember most of the game or anything. I've gone back and watched it since, of course, but I'm sitting there with my dad and my uncle and a bunch of neighbors. All our friends are kind of over there, and there's this palpable tension in the room. Pitch to Riggins, and he goes off the left side, and there's a guy that's got him dead to rights until he doesn't. Breaks his finger as Riggins runs right through his ass on his way to the touchdown, and a win. And I saw stars. I jumped up and down and screamed so loud like everybody else. And we're hugging. And I did like a Jimmy Superfly snooker suplex on somebody. I'm going top rope on my dad. And we're smacking each other. It was the greatest thing ever. Yeah, I couldn't have told you what a four pass was. I mean, I didn't know what holding was or anything else. But I just knew that joy was shared. Old enough in 87 to remember that 35-point second quarter, Doug Williams, shout out. Of course, remember 91 and steamrolling everybody on the way to another Lombardi. And that's the kind of air we're in right now. We're sort of talking about that. We're talking about those kinds of things being on the table again. And it's so wonderful. Having gone through the desert, Tobes, I'm not alone. So many Redskins, WFT, Local 53 fans here today have all talked about the same thing. It feels like it did then again.
Yeah.
Just making me, like, if you can make me feel like I'm 12 again, I'll give you some money for it.
I mean,
you know what I mean? That's all I want to do is make me feel like there's hope again.
How long have you been a professional broadcaster?
Or I don't know. I've been on the radio for a while. The pro part second. 15 years.
Danny, they've got you so fired up, you said we. Like five or six times today.
And I'm overdoing it. I acknowledge that. Like I made a pass. I caught a toe tap on the sideline.
It happens, right?
I know it does.
You feel like a fan again. Like,
you're part of it.
Obviously, when you go through and do what we do, you kind of lose a little bit of that, or you take yourself out of it a little bit. You still have the feelings. It felt so special this season that some of that is just gone. You're right back to what you were when you were a kid, cheering for this team again. And I'm sure it's the same way for fans all over that – if you've lost a little bit of that fervor, you've lost a little bit of that love for this team, you're excited about tomorrow night because tomorrow night you get to feel like a fan about this team that you haven't felt like in a long time. So much has changed, so much. Doesn't matter. You feel like the same old team that you grew up watching.
800-636-1067. Jaden Daniels is the most important Washington football player. That's obvious. Who's second? Who's got to have a big game? Who's critical if they're going to pull this upset off in Detroit? Let's go to Charlie, a line four in College Park. Who's got to play big?
Well, the guy already stole my thunder with Austin Eckler, but overall, offensive and defensive lines, they got to have a better pass rush than they've had the last few games. You can't let Goff sit back there with the receivers that Detroit has, and the offensive line has got to sustain the running game. If I had to pick one player, though, Austin Eckler. He runs angry. He's healthy again. You see the difference when he was out there last week. He's a weapon. He's an animal. You got to have a big game, and if the offensive line has its way, he will. He's another Brian Mitchell on the field.
I tell you, there's some similarities there at how good he is out of the backfield, how good he is in pass pro. You know, he's elusive, but he's also got more power than you think. I mean, he's a really good goal linebacker. Certainly has been talking about Eckler. Let's go to Joe in Annapolis on line two. Besides Daniels, who's got to play great?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Joe.
Doing great, Joe.
Hey, so Detroit's let up 15 touchdowns to receivers this year. Only six of those have been to the number one guy. If we're going to put up the offensive production to keep up with the Lions, guys like De'Ami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, but most importantly, number 14, Olamide Zaccheaus, is going to have to get rolling and keep us in this game.
First of all, look at Joe with a delicious nugget. Right there, dipped in sauce. Not one of the regular nuggets, but that special McDonald's boot-shaped nugget, which is chemically and genetically engineered to get the most sauce possible into your pudgy face if you're me. That's how good that nugget was by Joe in Annapolis. This is me clapping for Joe's nugget. I don't know if that's true or not, to be honest with you. I looked up a lot of stats. I had no idea if that's true. He could have made that up on the spot, but it sounded so good.
By the
delivery.
Way, delicious.
Like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, go ahead.
Delicious nugget, and he said Olamide Zaccheaus right. How many fans do that?
Yeah, ones of people. Line one, Chris and Ashford, who's got to be Bigley in order for them to win?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
I'll preface my response with I had two tickets to the 91 Super Bowl on my desk. I couldn't find anybody to go with, and I just said, I'm going to go the next time they go. So, oops. And there have been so many, like, since 91 they've done this, since 91 they've done that. So who knows what's going to happen. But I think the two guys are Austin Eckler and Ertz, because if you look at how they play defense, it's going to be man. They're going to spy with linebackers. That's going to open the middle of the field. And that's what they got to capitalize on. And if the linebackers drop, Daniels takes off. It's going to be a chess match, but I just can't wait to see it. Thanks, y'all.
Chris, I appreciate you. Yeah, that's another smart call. I think there's something to that. If they play man, talking about Detroit, and they spy, which I would do, certainly.
Big time.
Right? That means that's Eckler. That's Ertz, kind of some of those soft spots there, winning one-on-one. That's Zaccheaus and Crowder to a degree, I think. But that's what's going to be incumbent upon, right? If I'm playing man, I'm shading and bracketing, thinking about where Terry McLaurin is and is going to be. But that's the other guys are going to have a chance there to feast. You got to win quick, and you got to find and settle into some spots that are, you know, behind that linebacker that's watching and in front of maybe some safeties or other members of the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, Ertz isn't the same guy that he used to be in terms of explosiveness as an athlete, but what he is still good at that I don't think we give him enough credit for is he gets open. Whether it's zone or man, he just understands that savvy way of route running for being a tight end over the middle. Simple routes, but stuff that you can always depend on, so it's going to be huge.
One big final segment here this week, live from Uptown Alley. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan. Toby sitting in for GP, who's on the mend, hopefully, from that nasty flu that he's got. We got a whole bunch of things to do. We're going to tell you how the game is going to be won. We're going to go through all the other playoff games, predict some winners, losers, spreads, all that good stuff there. We'll talk about the game script. We got some pregame speeches to give. Whole bunch left here. Grant and Danny live from Uptown Alley in Manassas on the Fan.